from USA Today and host of the A to Z podcast, Sam Amick. Sammy, what the Rockets have lost three times. The Warriors have lost three times. What's going on around the NBA right now?
Gentlemen, what's going on? I mean, it's early. You know, everybody's wondering if Warriors fans need to hit the panic button, Cavs fans, Rockets fans. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's more parity than we thought. I don't think that's the case as it relates to the Warriors, but maybe for everybody else. But, you got, like, to me, the storyline of the rhythm as well, and the idea that the NBA, as you guys know, how they stretched out their season and started everything earlier. Everything feels off to me right now, even as a guy who just covers this stuff. You know, who knows if that's trickling over and having a ripple effect on the court too.
Yeah, and then on the converse side of that, Sam, there's a couple of good stories, whether it's, you know, Memphis getting out to a quick start or a team like Orlando who no one expected. That's kind of fun to see, just things you don't necessarily expect to be playing out, at least this early in the season.
For sure. Here's my one thing. Like, I want at least one of these storylines to hold up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's annoying how every year there's a couple that get you excited. Like, because it's even as a sports fan in me, it the fun part is where you just kind of that old adage about, you know, it's sports, just you never know. And so Orlando, maybe they're good. Maybe the guys are going to develop at the same exact time and kind of wake up and get to a new level. But they're not all going to hold up. I mean, even like the Pistons, they're another one where they had a really, really nice start. And granted, I think it was a back-to-back where they lose to the Lakers last night. But I saw that score, and I was like, oh, come on. Like, I'm almost rooting for them because I like that early storyline. But, you know, those come to mind. And you've also got surprises of the somewhat negative variety. You mentioned the Rockets and the Warriors, guys. But, like, you know, the Timberwolves and Thunder – both got off to quasi-average starts, but then have had some really good moments since then. It's, you know, everybody seems to be feeling their way through things right now, you know, even the defending champs and that team in the East that has met them in the finals the last 3 years.
Sam Amick with us here on the Lowdown. Sam, I'll give you the story that I desperately want to hold up throughout the year, and it's not how great Russell Westbrook is again. It's how great Giannis Antetokounmpo is.
Yeah, no, 100%. That one, I feel good about that one, Damian. I don't think that's going anywhere. I don't know if he's going to keep these ridiculous numbers. But
what I'm talking about. I want this eye-popping player that's not LeBron James, that's not Steph Curry. I want this I want this eye-popping performance that he's had here through the first, you know, 7-8 games, whatever it's been for the Bucks, to just, wow, this kid is that next-level superstar.
Now, what did he – I was guilty of, and this is a good guilty, but, like, we did a little trick-or-treating last night, so I didn't watch every single play of Thunder Bucks. Do you guys know off the top of your head what Giannis finished with against OKC?
Well, I'll tell you what he finished with here in just a heartbeat. I'll also tell you that you didn't miss anything. That game was not enjoyable. It never had a flow to it. And
interesting.
Oklahoma City
have it on pause on my projector here, so you're going to save me a couple hours. To dive in.
Yeah.
Sammy, there's nothing to watch there. I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo was good. He had 28 points on –
he had foul issues, too.
He had 28 points on 14 shots, and you heard what Jay Ross said right there. But it felt like the Bucks as a whole never got into a flow while Oklahoma – I don't think – Russ was one assist shy of a triple-double. Like, five minutes left in the third quarter, he never came back in the game. That's how much Oklahoma was in control.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's – you know, OKC, I've been watching closely. And they're fascinating because they got the star power, but they also have, you know, three of the highest usage guys in the NBA. And, you know, so are we going to kind of project them to be better than they are? We shall see. But, Damian, to your point, I mean, Giannis, he's a star. I don't know what those numbers are going to look like at the end of the year, but he's sure fun to watch. And there's a lot of that this year. So far, that's another thing I've enjoyed is that Giannis is a big-ticket item who makes you stop what you're doing and make sure you watch him. Even to a lesser degree, the young fella who our entire staff picked to win Rookie of the Year, Ben Simmons, you know, I watched him the other night, and he's doing things going coast to coast for the Sixers that make you just kind of shake your head and feel good about this next crop of stars in the NBA. You know, there's a lot to watch right now.
One other thought on Philly, at least, Sam, as you brought them up. What's up with Markelle Fultz? I mean, we know what the injury is, but anything more concerning, or is this just kind of not that big of a deal?
I think it's a reasonably big deal. I mean, the young guy, just he's feeling a lot of pain in the shoulder, and it's affected his shot, and he changed his shot to counteract the pain in the shoulder. And then, I mean, I don't care what line of work you're in. If you are like an important hire for a company, right, and it's like, oh, you get this new job and they pay you a lot of money to come in, and there's excitement around you, and, you know, that's the life of a number one pick. And he comes in and it's you know, underwhelming, and it's negative, and it's disappointing. And you're 19 and your college experience was 1 year at Washington where you won, you know, I forget however many single digits in games. And you already had critics kind of saying that this guy put up big individual numbers, but wasn't a winner, so to speak, even though his roster around him was terrible. I think all that stuff matters when it comes to the mental side. And that, you know, in terms of the Sixers and how they see Markelle right now, I think that is the concern. And I also think that the dynamic between him and the organization is somewhat in peril because, you know, there has been some throwing of the, you know, under the bus action from the Sixers' parts. When Brian Colangelo, their GM, comes out and tries to say that Markelle changed his shot and that's what caused the pain, you know, that's like a classic, you know, making sure that folks blame the player and not the organization. Brett Brown, their coach, did that a couple of weeks ago as well. And so, I mean, going forward, I think the jury's out a little bit on, you know, not only what kind of player Markelle is going to be when he's going to come back, but that dynamic between him and the Sixers.
Sam, I'm going to tie the Markelle Fultz and 76ers directly to the Boston Celtics. It's the only smooth way I can figure out to transition here. And the Celtics, you know, they had that horrific 5 minutes in front of the entire world to start the season. They were playing a back-to-back their first two games. They went on to lose the second game. They haven't lost since. They've won five straight. Have you got a chance to watch them? If so, what have you seen with them that's really clicking?
I haven't watched them as much as I should have. I do know what they're doing in terms of kind of the, you know, the stat page and how it's playing out. I mean, Al Horford's getting lauded for his defense in a big-time way, and he's always been an extremely strong defender, but sounds like he's been really special lately. And then you see Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, young guys who, you know, this is like the silver lining territory, is young guys who are going to develop faster than they would have otherwise because of the Hayward injury. Tatum in particular, you talk about this amazing rookie class and Tatum standing out right away as an impact player. I think that's a real positive. And then defensively, I mean, it's just incredible to me. I know it's a small sample size, but that they have been as good as they have been. It's, you know, despite losing Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder, two of their best defenders, and just having a roster that doesn't necessarily scream defensively dominant, you know, especially with Kyrie at the one. So Brad Stevens, their coach, doing a good job, and, you know, we'll see if it holds up. I mean, the disappointing part, I think, is that if you look ahead to the playoffs, I don't care how well they play in the regular season without Gordon on that roster. You just can't tell me that they're legitimately challenging Cleveland. But, you know, like we said earlier, it's sports, you know, never say never, who knows?
I know, obviously, it's still way in its infancy with Boston and Gordon Hayward's injury, Sam, but was everything medically after his first procedure, is everything that you've heard he's expected to be okay? And I don't know, not timetable, but like they think he'll be back on the court?
Yes, that is my understanding. I'm curious, you know, they said his agent, Mark Bartlestein, had said right away that he expected him to be out for the season. Again, I keep going back to that, it's sports, you never know type thing. Who knows if, you know, maybe he does better than expected on the timeline and maybe we have some dramatic return in the playoffs. And I have not heard that from any of his people or anybody from the Celtics. But, you know, I think based on that kind of injury and the I guess the comparables, when you look at, you know, the timeline and whatnot, it might be possible. So So, you know, maybe we're talking about that 6 months from now. But in terms of his ability to be the player that he was before, you know, and the thing that matters more than anything else, I think that is definitely the case. He should be 100%.
Sam Amick, our KHDK NBA insider from USA Today, host of the A to Z podcast with us here on The Lowdown. Sam, what's your do you have a next big project planned?
It's funny you say that, Damian. I was just talking to a colleague of mine about a few of the fishing poles that I have out in the water and trying to figure out what's next. I mean, the answer is no right now. It's kind of just that part of the year where, you know, I feel like a free safety in football where you're trying to read the field and figure out where the action's going and then respond accordingly. So that's kind of where we're at. I mean, the Rockets are a little bit of a black hole in our coverage recently where I need to get back to them. The Thunder are next week is going to be a really good week for a NorCal-based NBA writer where you've got the Sixers coming through Philly. You got OKC. I'm sorry, the Sixers coming through Sac. You got OKC coming through Sac. The T-Wolves are coming through Oakland, and the Heat are coming through Oakland. So there's a lot to get into next week.
May I direct you to Memphis?
Yeah.
They're 5-2 right now. Every time we think, they can't possibly do this, they can't possibly do that, they're coming out strong, they're playing well, and it doesn't feel like a fluke. It just looks like they're playing really good basketball.
I agree, although who did they just drop a game? Their last game, they lost, and there was another one of those where
– It was Dallas.
One of them – Was it Dallas?
Well, I know that's one of their losses, yeah. which Dallas is only win.
I'll look it up here.
But they lost to Charlotte. Charlotte was the last game that they lost.
Charlotte won. Yeah, I watched that game. I mean, that one, and I have this number stuck in my head, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol shoot 8 of 33 combined together, and they had it was disheartening to watch because in the fourth quarter, they were up double digits in that game. And, you know, as you guys know, the Grizzlies story has always been, you know, defensively dominant for the last several years and then offensively challenged. And, you know, the Charlotte game was more of the same. They had a stretch, I think, of like 9+ minutes without a field goal. They just went completely bone dry. And what's puzzling about their start and in a reverse psychology kind of way, maybe encouraging for them, is that they've gotten off to this good start with Mike Conley not playing that well. His percentages are down across the board, like in a major way, and he's coming off his best season of his career. So, you know, if Mike turns it around and starts doing what he did last year, I think that's only going to help him. He's dealing with an Achilles soreness that might actually take him out tonight against Orlando. So, but all in all, it's a good look. Tyreke Evans has been productive for them. Their rookie Dylan Brooks has had some good moments. Chandler Parsons is on the floor, which is a good start for him based on his health and trying to be productive. And, you know, they just keep doing their thing.
A league pass programming note.
Yeah.
Orlando and Memphis tonight.
Which you would have never thought that was a thing, but right now it is.
It's a thing seven games in.
Yeah. Sam,
here's a fun fact for you guys before we pivot there. You can tell I've been doing stats-based writing today because I keep finding these little tidbits. Three guys on the Magic. I'm sure you guys are familiar with the stat PER, player efficiency rating. So it's, you know, for the listeners, it's essentially a kind of all-in-one, mostly offensive-based stat that quantifies a guy's impact on the floor. Three guys on the Magic have higher PERs than Kyrie Irving so far this season. And Kyrie's been playing pretty well.
Yeah. Like
Aaron Gordon, Vucevic and Evan Fournier, all 24+ in PER. I mean, those guys have been playing out of their minds.
Sam, I think when we talked to you last week, you were talking about going to the Warriors and Wizards game on Friday. If you were there, and if not, I know you've seen the incident with Beal and Draymond. Did the league handle that right? As far as I was surprised there weren't suspensions there, but I don't know what you think about that.
I did not go. I have an amazing knack for the rare Oracle game I miss. Always has the most action. Like Klay Thompson with his what was it? Now I'm forgetting. The
sick
quarter he had a couple years ago. Yeah. I always miss the good games. So I didn't go, but I was watching closely. It's funny, Jay, it sounds like you and I might see it a little bit differently. I don't think the league handled it the right way, but I'm probably swinging it the other way, where I was surprised that they fined Draymond $25,000 because I just don't know what else they wanted him to do. Like, if I put myself in that position, and forget about being Draymond Green, which comes with its own set of kind of rules and circumstances, but like just anybody, you know, guy smacks you in the face, guy engages with you in a bear hug. I mean, I really saw nothing that had Draymond prolonging the incident, you know, making it any worse. He didn't retaliate, didn't punch, didn't do anything. And it did wind up in the stands, which is a terrible look. And I know that's probably how the league would justify the fine. But I felt like Beal was the one who made that entire thing happen.
We joked that if David Stern was still in office when they landed in the stands, they probably would have been suspended 10 games.
Right.
Can I throw a couple of nuggets at your way that you just may not be aware of or maybe didn't see in film or whatever the case may be? Part of the line that they used when they sent that letter to Draymond Green, I think it was de-escalate the situation or something along those lines. When they got to the ground, Draymond wouldn't let go of Bradley Beal's neck. That was one of the issues that I know that the Washington Wizards took exception to and was probably communicated to the league. The other one was that the incident, the non-isolated portion of that incident with Bradley Beal and Draymond Green, had actually started in the first quarter when there's a particular play that you'll go back and see, and Bradley Beal makes a contested layup on Draymond. And that obviously agitated Draymond, and he started calling him a particular name going up and down the floor for the remainder of the quarter. When you get to the quarter break, you see that the Washington Wizards are trying to calm Bradley Beal down because he's really ticked off at Draymond Green. That is essentially what started that incident.
Man, Jay, I forgot we had ourselves a Wizards insider here.
That's right.
Connection going on.
Yes, of course.
Tell Kara I said hello.
Oh, he just blew my source. Just revealed my source all on the radio.
That's great knowledge. That's really good insight, because I had not broken the film down like that, and I had been telling people, like, you know, you're hitting on the fact, Damian, that there's always more to the story, and that's what the league is obviously going to investigate when they look into these kinds of things. And, you know, that play, that situation to me reeked of, like, there was more to the story. There had to be more to the story, and obviously you're hitting on that. That's pretty interesting.
Well, Sam, you see Draymond all the time, and you know,
and hear him. You always see him.
Well, Sam, that's exactly where I was going, is because I've heard now the comparison. You know, you just mentioned Kara. A lot of people have said this to her, that he's like the new Kevin Garnett, and you remember what Kevin Garnett was like on the floor.
Yeah.
So he's that guy now, and what we saw when the Warriors played the Wizards, that's the result of it.
For sure. Did you, along those lines, did you guys catch, I don't know who tweeted this, but it cracked me up, the Clippers game against the Warriors, Wes Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I could hear this, and I went back and listened to the tape, and you could hear it. Wes Johnson was going up for a shot, and I forget who Draymond was yelling at a teammate, maybe Jordan Bell, one of the younger guys, and he essentially says, man, you know, make him finish it, essentially foul him. He goes, he hadn't finished a shot in 10 years, you know, and you can hear him from the sideline just barking, you know, just blatantly disrespecting the entire man's career, basically. So, I mean, he does. He yaps. He also, you know, the Wizards clearly, I think going forward, they're going to get credit for officially waking him up, because the Warriors as a unit had been in a slumber. And, you know, Steve Kerr and his coaching staff had been talking a lot about this concept that supposedly at some point, you know, famed Pistons coach Chuck Daly had said, you have to wait for a champion sometimes. And that's what was happening with the Warriors this year, that you can't grab them by the hand and, you know, and kind of get them to go where you want them to go. You can't smack them in the face and get them to respond. Sometimes you just got to wait. And that's what the coaching staff did. You know, I think the Wizards game woke them up, and you kind of saw that against the Clippers.
Yeah, lost in all that, the fact that the Wizards, a very good Wizards team, blew an 18-point lead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the part where Beal's in the wrong in the context of his team, and he said as much afterwards. Like, you know, Draymond's an incredibly valuable player for the Warriors, But they're just deeper than the Wizards. So for Washington to lose, you know, one of their two best players, it's just not acceptable.
Sam, is anybody going to be interested in Okafor from Philadelphia?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like we've been talking about this for years now. You know, where is Okafor going to go? And talented offensive player, you know, a bit of a defensive sieve. So, I mean, the interest, I think, declines because they chose to decline his option for next year. So now you know you're getting a rental. I mean, how much are you going to be willing to give up, you know, to get a couple months, not a couple months, but, you know, three quarters of a season with a guy who has kind of been on the trading block for the last couple of years. You know, I think the price tag is going to be pretty minimal and just another situation for the Sixers to deal with.
You want to hear more about the early season struggles around the NBA and more on Giannis Antetokounmpo, check out the latest edition of the A to Z podcast available on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. Sammy, we appreciate you as always, my friend.
You got it, guys. Be good. See
you. Thank you.
All right. Sam Amick, our KHDK NBA insider from USA Today.